dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Greetings, SVC fans, and welcome into another exciting episode of Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. This is show 207, if you're keeping track. Even if you aren't, it's still 207. In our season 7, we are, as always, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., except when the weather precludes that, and you need to check the website for those kind of days. You'll find all kinds of pizzas, those Cardo's pizzas, including the chicken bacon ranch, the garlic cheese, the BLT, and of course the buffalo chicken pizza, which is one of my favorites. Give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. And of course, for more detailed information, look them up on the web at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Welcome once again. My name is Bruce Knox, and I have two young gentlemen with me tonight who are going to, or today, whenever you happen to be listening to this, are going to talk all kinds of SEC sports action right now. First, we'll bring in the doctor, Dr. Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette, Mr. Derek. How are you, sir?
Good, Bruce. Good. How about you?
I'm staying warm, staying inside, and watching as much sports on TV as I can. So kind of limits you, though, with the NFL winding down, the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers kind of stinking up the place, and I guess the Buckeye basketball team doing pretty well. But we're making it, and we are glad you are able to join us tonight. The other young host here, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane of SVC Sports Zone, how are you?
Getting antsy, Bruce. I miss being in the gym over the weekend, but certainly appreciate you and Dr. Webb allowing me a chance to talk some sports here for the next hour.
Yeah, so doctor is in the house with us as well. So, well, you know, the weather has played all kinds of havoc here recently with our schedule. And we did not play Friday or Saturday night or Friday or Saturday during the day or anything. It was pretty well shut down. Shane, what's that kind of do to our schedule for the SVC?
You know, guys, the weather was so bad that it kind of makes it fair for everyone. Derek, you'll know this to be true with how much you have to follow the makeup days is oftentimes we'll get that weather that's in the middle. And out of four SVC games, two will get played, two won't. Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, different people have more games to play, and, you know, some are still on schedule. But in this case, it wiped everything out. So really, everybody's kind of in the same situation. Now is when your relationship between coach and AD is really, really important, because strategically, it can really matter when you play these games. You know, how many games are you going to play in a 2 to 3, 4 day stretch? Preparation, what comes up? Is it before the tournament draw? Is it after the tournament draw? There's just a lot of different things that can play a role there. But I guess in this case, if the weather will cooperate moving forward, the winner in all this could be someone like me, because, you know, I get to see more games. Oftentimes these games don't get put on the same night. So I think Union of Southeastern, supposed to play Monday night. We're recording this here on Sunday evening, so by the time we listen to this, I know some of this will be old news, but Unio to Southeastern on Monday, Huntington Paint Valley Tuesday. I think the Piketon PV game was going to be put on a different night compared to some other ones. The Unio to Vinton County girls game, which is Wednesday now. So I know more snow is coming, but Derek, you and I are always asking for some different nights to spread some SVC games out so we can watch that many more in person. Maybe we'll get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, my I think the only bad, maybe negative part of it is it kind of clogs up the schedule. You know, I kind of had the week planned last week to, you know, as to where I was going, what we were going to cover, and now it's completely changed and shifted the other way. So, but that's
okay. Just wait, because it'll probably change again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. With snow coming, you know, again, like you said, we're here on Sunday, but with snow coming again, you know, that just makes my schedule even more bogged down, right? But that's okay. It gives me something to do, and I'm not as bored all the time, right?
I don't think you've ever been bored. Well, guys,
no, never.
What was to have been a week of incredible SVC basketball kind of ended up with a blowout and then a terrible injury on Tuesday night. Of course, we've already talked about the weather wiping out the weekend. But given all that, what kind of stands out to you? Shane, we'll go to you first.
Well, the Tuesday night has to be what stands out to me. I mean, look, we've had weather before wipe out a weekend or whatever. Yeah. We know sometimes that can happen at least once a year. But Tuesday night was some good basketball, but then it really just got overshadowed, I guess for me personally at least, by the news of Lexi Woods. You know, first I do want to talk about the basketball itself. Give Southeastern so much credit. Ella Skeens is just special. I mean, she makes the game so much easier for everybody who plays it with her. Not just the score, but her ability to handle the basketball and make offense so much easier for all of her teammates to play. It's really a thing of beauty to watch. And I think what really showed up to me, Derek, in that game is something I've said about this Southeastern group before. Their age and their experience, being 60 to 80 varsity games in, I just thought Rachel Collins, Morris, I thought Heiss, I thought their physicality, you know, Mitten's ability to spread the court is a threat. But I thought their strength really showed up on the defensive end. When you watch guards penetrate on both ends and you watch bodies come together and you look to see who wins separation and some of those things, I just thought that the strength and the physicality of Southeastern really showed up. You know, keep in mind Uniota is still a young basketball team for the most part, but I just really thought Southeastern kind of physically beat them up. And don't underestimate the importance of even Hunter Adams coming in giving good minutes, because Southeastern, the one thing they are not, is deep. So Uniota could never get really two to three deep into their bench, but I thought just her coming in and spotting minutes here, spotting minutes there, was really, really important. But again, what makes it all possible is just the special talent of Skeens and her ability to do so many things. And then obviously, it was kind of a sick, quiet ride home for me, Derek, because as I got the news, I mean, Lexi's someone that, you know, me being at Paint Valley, I go way back. I can remember watching her grow up as a young kid and then having her as a young lady in class in junior high. And I've always known Lexi as a basketball player. I've known her as someone that, hey, this kid's going to be special. You know, I think it's been a long time goal of hers to rewrite the record book there at Paint Valley. And, you know, you get off to the start to do that. And I just feel sorry for her individually. I feel sorry for the PV program. You come into the week with a couple home games and you're thinking, okay, here we go. We can stay on pace to have a 10-4 pace in the league, maybe get back to 500 here. And then all of a sudden, this just slaps you in the face and the entire season takes on a different look. But, you know, she's a great kid. She's handled it with a lot of optimism. Her interview on KKJ, I know, Derek, you have some things coming up on her and stuff, but just a special kid. I really hate it, but to answer your question there, Bruce, that had to be the thing that jumps out at me throughout the week. Unfortunately, it's just that news coming from Paint Valley on Tuesday night.
Derek, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Shane pretty much hit the nail on the head. You know, you look at Southeastern's kind of drubbing of Uniota on Tuesday, and I mean, as Shane said, I mean, Ella Skeens just was phenomenal that night. She missed like four shots all night. I mean, really created shots. You got to remember, she does that with, you know, while being double team, while being triple team, she's trailed. I mean, to me, Shane, she just really, she didn't need to solidify, but she really, again, proved why she's such a special talent in our league, why she's going to Dayton, why she's a Division I talent. I mean, she did that all for me. And, you know, you mentioned Hunter Adams, Rachel Collins. You know, also Skylar Heiss played very well. You look at even McKinley Mitten hitting two big threes to kind of kind of steal momentum, because you got to remember Unioto was up 12-11 after the first quarter. Southeastern goes in on an 18-8 run in the second. I mean, the game's over from there, because when Unioto, you know, when they're down going in halftime, you got Ellis Keynes and she's getting hotter, you know, kind of coming off, you know, a hot second quarter, and in the third quarter she hits her first couple shots. Southeastern is going to be tough to beat, and that's anybody who they play. It doesn't matter if it's Unioto or Eastern Brown or whoever. If Ellis Keynes is on, Southeastern is a very good basketball team. And then especially when you put the help around her, because she does have talent around her, and I think sometimes those players are overlooked because she's so good. You know, when they're all playing, you know, well, Mike Adams has himself a heck of a squad there to even go on a tournament run and, you know, obviously kind of break that SVC streak of 38 consecutive games, now at 35. So, and then, yeah, I mean, with Lexi, Shane, I'll say this. I've interviewed her several times. When I first met her, she was a quiet freshman, didn't really want to talk. She was very shy, still personable. You could tell she had a huge personality. And, you know, we've kind of grown our relationship from there, from reporter, athlete. Every time she talks to me now, it's just like, man, that kid's awesome. You know, you get to kind of grow close to kids like that as a reporter. And there's so many I can name that are just like that. But, you know, Lexi's senior class, this entire senior class in the area, is the first senior class that I've covered from freshman to senior. So every kind of, you know, injury that, you know, kinds of ends of season, something like that, you know, that's tough. I went through it with football and volleyball where, you know, man, I'll never get to see that kid, you know, play volleyball or play football or whatever it may be again. With Lexi, hopefully, you know, we'll get to see her play basketball again. And you mentioned it, Shane. I got to talk to her before Thursday's game against Piketon. We'll have a feature coming out on her earlier this week, just kind of talking about what she has to do to get back, if she plans to get back, and, you know, just kind of her mindset going forward.
Well, that's going to be awesome to look forward to that. You know, a couple things jumped out at me, what he was talking about there, Bruce, mm-hmm. was, you know, he mentioned Unioto being up early in the game. And I remember making the comment that right now Uniota's spacing is really good and they're getting some looks. If they continue to get these types of looks, they're not going to shoot this percentage, which was not very good at the time. The problem was they didn't continue to get the same types of looks. When you see the 3 of 22 from the 3-point line, mm-hmm. that's always a possibility when you shoot a lot of threes, is you're going to have a night where you die by it. But I thought the difference was the Unioto guards were unable to get downhill into the paint. The strength of Southeastern was pushing some of the penetration out more to diagonal instead of downhill into the paint. So they were able to really pack the paint a little bit more. Well, then their length and their size was able to get out to the shooters. I mean, Unioto ended up with maybe 2 or 3 clean looks. But what happens is when you've rushed some of them throughout, when you do get some of those good looks, a lot of times you're not in rhythm and so forth. So, Southeastern's defense really deserves a lot of credit mm-hmm. for what happened that night. They're very, very impressive in the scrimmage area.
All right. Well, we will talk more basketball just in a little bit, but let's we've been kind of looking here at the website segment, Learn the Website. And Shane, I'm going to let you go into this. It is brought to us by the Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. I know that they've been posting some extended membership packages. Again, give them a call. There's a lot of different levels of memberships. I even think if you let them know, hey, I'm from out of town, I don't know if I can get up there that many times, here's what I'm looking for, and just talk to them. Let them know that SBC Sports Talk sent you, and I'm sure that they'll hook you up. Again, let me give you that number. It's 740-986-4653. And, you know, guys, I wanted to show you a couple things I've been researching here on the website. And then in each segment, I have a follow-up question for Derek, if that's all right, Bruce.
Sure.
First on the, obviously the SVC streaks page, we continue to follow. I think Southeastern's at 35, Union at 61. You know, Derek, I then went back to the schedule. Again, learning the website, if you look at the logos on the front page across, if you click on that, you can get their roster and their schedules. And I was looking out, if snow allows it, to play in order. You go to Westfall at Piketon. Zane Trace the tie, and then at Huntington to break it for Southeastern. Uniota, obviously, makeup dates are interesting. You just wonder when that ZT game will fall. I think they said they were going to wait till Monday or Tuesday till they got back, see what happens with the Southeastern Uniota makeup on the Monday night, and then see where they want to go with that. But I guess my question for you, as I was studying the schedule, studying the SVC streaks, is a question that had actually come to me at the Southeastern Uniota game Tuesday night, and I immediately put it in my phone to make note because I had my thoughts about it on the way home, and then I wanted to ask you on the show. Are elite teams good for the league? Like, it's obviously historically fun to follow, but when you look at a certain team winning 61 straight games, or now a girls basketball team that, unless we have a giant upset, is going to move into the 40s, is that good for the league? I don't care if you put on your media hat, your personal fan hat, whatever you want to do, but how would you answer that in terms of the way I was asked by a fan Tuesday night, if it's good for the league to have that one elite team?
Well, first of all, I'd like to commend you on your journalism skills, because I don't even put notes in my notebook. I kind of forget about that all of a sudden, right? That's awesome to me, and there's always a job right next to me if you want one. I've got an empty desk right here. To answer your question, I mean, to me, let's put my media hat on first. As a media member, are elite teams good for the league? Absolutely. Because you get a story all year long. You're going to get a tournament run all year long. And let's be honest, I want people to read. That's my job, to get people to come to our website, to get people to buy our newspaper. So if we have an elite team that's very good, they all love and hate that elite team at the same time. They love them because they're interested, they're winning. They hate them because they're interested, they're winning. It's kind of a double-edged sword there. Right. As a fan, it's something I kind of compare it to football in a sense, like NFL football. I mean, you never want to see the same teams winning over and over and over again. It's just like this year with the Vikings. You're going to have a different NFC team in the Super Bowl with the Vikings and the Eagles. The Falcons are out. So for me, as a fan, obviously I'd like to see different teams win. I'd like to see upsets. Southeastern's a great team. They've got great kids and they've got great coaches. But as a fan, I'd love to see a Huntington, kind of knock them off, just because Huntington, is the underdog. And I think as humans, we root for underdogs. In terms of just a basketball, kind of I guess, whatever you want to call me, fanhead, fanatic, whatever. I think it is good for our league, and here's why. Because those same Huntington, Paint Valley, Piketon, even Uniota, when they get to play a player like Ellis Skeens, when they get to play a team like Southeastern, it makes them better. Same could be said on the boys' side. When Piketon or a Zane Trace or a Paint Valley, when they get to play a Uniota and a Logan Swackhammer or a Brandon Kennedy or Peyton Hill, when I think that makes them better as a team, even if they lose, when they go into that tournament run, they're all playing, either a Division One talent, a well-rounded team, or a Division Two a Division Two basketball team in Uniota. When they may be a D3, a D4. So let's put Paint Valley in perspective, Shane. In D3, are they going to see any other team like Uniota until maybe a district final? Probably not. If they play Uniota twice a season, they're already used to playing that caliber of a team. So when they get to that district final, no sweat, right? I mean, it's still a tough game, sure, but they've seen talent like that before. So I think it does. I think it's a good thing for the league overall. But as a fan, absolutely, I'd like to see, somebody, the underdog, knock somebody off.
Well, I certainly think that's interesting, because I think the competitor in me as a player, back to my playing days or where I'm at, as a coach, I think, obviously if you're in a league race like a Piketon, Zane Trace or whatever, you might like to see him lose because it helps your chances to win the league. But I'll be honest, as a competitor, as a player or as a coach, you kind of want to see him keep winning to give you a shot. Because you want your chance. Hey, I'd like to be the team that knocks them off eventually. So I think that's really intriguing. Here's the second thing I was researching. And as I said on weeks past, Derek, not a week goes by where I don't get hammered with questions or texts or emails on this particular topic. It's all of our 1,000-point scores and different things. Just to update some people, as I looked at again, our 1,000-point page, and then looked at their schedules again and did some math. You know, Ellis Keene's at 19-02. We'll have a minimum of 10 games left based on the district final appearance again for Southeastern, which I think is a realistic goal. They probably won't get a bye because they'll be such a high seed. So let's call it about 12 games based on 12 games. With good health, which we never want to take for granted, as we learned this past week. But with good health, you know, she's 98 points away from 2,000. That's very reachable. Mm. Obviously, the numbers everybody's looking at, 333 to Kelly Downs to get to that 2,235 school record. That's about 28, give or take, a contest. 353 to get to Crystal Tharp, 2,255 for the SVC record. So basically right around 29 a game. Obviously very, very doable. A lot of times it depends on how competitive the other team stays and how many minutes she gets. You know, how many nights you see where she only gets to play two and a half quarters. So obviously that's a number that's very doable. It's not a gimme, but it's certainly doable. And then obviously Lexi Woods, we've highlighted that. We joke calling you the doctor sometimes, Derek. I've been asked this question of, hey, do you think in 2 or 3 weeks they'll put like a soft cast on there against some team? She can go out with her right hand and score 15 points. And, you know, I get stuck in the middle a little bit because I'm not a doctor. You know, I understand that she's got big picture in mind. I'm sure her family has a big picture in mind. You know, a kid that's going to get a chance to get her education paid for through the game of basketball. Now, if you're asking me on the side, do I think there's some teams on her schedule where she could play with her right hand and score 15 points? Yeah, probably. You know what I mean? But I certainly understand. At this point, you got to take care of yourself long term. But you being the doctor and having the medical background,
yeah, sure. No,
seriously, what do you? I mean, what do you take on that? I mean, again, we're talking about a young student athlete here with a bright future ahead of her. Obviously, the adult mind in us says to A, be easy with it, go. But at the same time, there's a little bit of a competitor in you that being like, oh my goodness, to work your whole career and you're this close to it, you hate to see a kid not get that opportunity. It really is kind of a rock and a hard place, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is. You know, I think I talked to Lexi after, well, before, like I said, Piketon and Pay Valley's game on Thursday, and you know, she's not dejected, she's not down on herself. But I did ask her. I said, you know, hey, are you going to be back? Because I mean, that's a question everybody wants to know right now, right?
Right.
And she said, you know, I hope to be. I guess the doctor gave her 4 to 6 weeks of recovery time. They said after 4 weeks, you know, she could possibly get that soft cast on, and, you know, then possibly play. Or I'm sorry, after 4 weeks, she'd get the cast completely off. Next week, she could possibly get a soft cast on, and then possibly play. But it's going to be longer than a week. And just talking to her. I think she's kind of maybe looking at a tournament run. Maybe after that last regular season game, she wants to come back. Right. You know, which I get. As far as your question with, let's put it this way: if it were me, and I'm that close to a scoring record, if it were me, sure, I would go out there and play. Here's the thing, though: I'm not getting a scholarship to play basketball at the next level. So, if I go out there and really injure myself or re-aggravate it to where, you know, it's a serious injury now or a more serious injury now, and it affects, you know, how I'm going to play at the next level, then absolutely I'm not going to do it. You know, Lexi's going to the University of Rio Grande, you know, to play basketball at the next level. I asked her about that as well, and I asked her if that was maybe a factor in her decision, you know, maybe not to play until she's 100% instead of 90 or 85%. She said absolutely. So I think Lexi's got a lot of things going on, just because of that, you know, just because of her decision to continue her basketball career. You know, and she's also got people in her ear, you know, saying, hey, you know, just play. So it's tough, you know, for a 17, 18 year old kid, you know, to make the right decision. You know, I think the important thing is that she's making the right decision for her and how she feels. If she feels comfortable to play, she should. If she doesn't feel comfortable to play, she shouldn't. So, you know, as much as I'd love to say, Lexi, go out there and play, you know, I need something to write about, because that'd be awesome, right? You know, the decision is based in her own comfortability and in her own mind.
Well, I think that's really well said, Bruce, because it's easy. It's easy for people to say, oh, 15 points, let's just go get that or whatever. But yeah, obviously I think you've got to understand, what the young lady has in front of her as well. And make sure you make good decisions. So interesting topic, certainly understand the questions, but I think there's an obvious adult answer here when we really break it down.
Yeah. At this point, do you want me to read the disclaimer about Derek not being a doctor, but just playing one at the Gazette?
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll figure it out without our help, but it's fun to kind of speculate on what we would have them do.
Bruce, I need to change my Twitter handle to Dr. Webb. Dr. Webb 1509.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, if you can do that without losing your verification and all that good stuff, you know, I don't have nearly that many followers, so it's not germane for me to say. And it's probably not germane what we think about Lexi either. But like you said, it's fun. It's fun to talk about. Well, let's move on to a look into our inbox from this past week. It is brought to us by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. Their telephone number is 740-477-9828. And we want to remind you to like them on Facebook so you will see their posts regarding their specials and so forth. They're your source for local SVC school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. Again, located at 106 West Main Street. Give them a call and tell them what you're looking for, and they will fix you up. Last week, if you recall, we had a pretty good time talking about upset points, and Shane had his all documented and diagrammed and all kinds of things. Well, this email that we're going to read here, and they point out as they start that they really enjoyed the upset points on the show. Another thing they would be interested to hear about is home court advantage. It seems like in years past, home court advantage was huge. Atmospheres were wild. Student sections were big. Now I have seen some crowds that are decent, but for the most part, it's hit or miss. And they want to know your thoughts. Shane?
Well, I think the email is pretty well written in terms of the concept of, you know, crowds in a lot of ways are not as consistently packed, maybe not as crazy as they used to be. I know student sections kind of become a thing of the past. I know our website there, early on in our existence, we kind of did some things around the league, if you remember, to promote the student section. Really had some of the student sections at four or five schools really buying in. Kind of made some administration a little bit uneasy, a little bit nervous. And I wasn't, you know, being an educator myself, I just wasn't a road I wanted to go down. I do think it helped. I think what Tuesday night shows us, though, Derek, is if there's a good product, people will still watch. I mean, when you look girls basketball Tuesday night at one of the biggest gyms in our league, that place was pretty packed. It had pretty good motion to it. You mentioned Unioda playing out in front. I thought the Southeastern crowd was tremendous. High basketball IQ with the Southeastern folk, really understood how to kind of lift their team. And then when their team responded, the crowd was just there, and they just amped it up with each step of the run. But I think it's a fair thing. I don't know that some of the crowds or some of the different things or some of the emotion in the gyms quite what it used to be. But I do think there's still some home court advantage, Bruce, from a few aspects. Number one, I think role players have a tendency to play with a lot more comfort at home. You know, when you're at home, in your own locker room, in your own gym, I think when you are a young player – and you're going through it for the first time, I think it's just easier to play on your home court than it is to, say, travel to a Unioda and play, or to travel to a Paint Valley and play. You know, Paint Valley's a place where there's still a pretty good student section. They have a pretty good atmosphere. Unioda, still a smaller gym. You know, you're going to get some intensity there and so forth. But I certainly think role players going through it for the first time seem to relax. They seem to play a little bit better, a little bit more comfort in their shot and so forth there. I think your experienced players, because they've been there, done that, I think they're going to go and settle in just fine no matter where. You know, I think Tanner Perdue is going to walk into any gym, and when the ball's thrown up, he's going to play. You know what I mean? I think Dylan Swingle is going to play. Logan Swackhammer and Brandon Kennedy certainly haven't walked into are going to walk into a gym now that they haven't walked into somewhere in the last like 90 games. You know, they're going to relax and play. So, but I think the number one thing with home court advantage that jumps out at me is a little bit of the comfort and the role players is what I would really watch. And the only other thing I would throw in there, Derek, maybe before you respond is the Friday, Saturday, the way the SBC does that, there are some advantages of maybe having that home court push on, say, a Saturday night compared to going back out on the road or so forth. You know, or you might even say the other side of that is playing on the road on a Friday night makes for a later night and pushes you into the Saturday morning there a little bit more. So, yeah, I don't know. I might be looking into it a little bit too much. But I think the number one thing that I would certainly make is watch how your role players seem to relax a little bit more on their home court compared to when they play in the hostile environment.
Your thoughts, Derek?
Well, for me, you know, let's put it this way. I cover more than the SVC. With Chillicothe and Waverly and even Eastern now. I will say this. If you go to a Chillicothe and a Washington Courthouse game, and I've said this before, and if you go to a Uniota and a Huntington game, now we're looking at, you know, Chillicothe, Uniota at the top of their league, Huntington, Washington Courthouse near the bottom of their leagues. There are so many more people at that Uniota-Huntington game than there are the Chillicothe game, okay? I don't know why. It's just that way. Obviously, maybe because the SVC's been, you know, a league for a very long time. These teams know each other well. The coaches know each other well. The fans know each other well. But the difference in the atmosphere from the SVC and the FAC is completely it's like comparing apples to oranges. It's completely different. You're not going to get a lot of the same crowds. You're not going to get a lot of the same atmosphere. Having said that, I think the email speaks to – you know, something that is true over the last couple of years, I have noticed that the crowd's kind of getting smaller around SVC games. But Shane, I think you made a good point when you talk about the product. You look at a Uniota and a Huntington, like I just said, and it starts to become kind of like, you know, an SVC football matchup between a, you know, maybe a Huntington this year and a Southeastern this year. People kind of already know, hey, well, Uniota should win that game. You know, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go do something else with my time tonight. So I think you're right. It does have something to do with the product on the court. It's not maybe as competitive. I think we're going to see it get more competitive next year. But this year and even you know, last year and the year before, you know, Uniota's kind of had that dynasty now where if you play Uniota, you kind of know, okay, we're going to probably take a loss tonight just because they're so deep, they're so good. You know, I think next year the league flips, and, you know, we might not see that. I think we're going to see better crowds because, like you said, we're going to have a better product. You know, I'll also say this, Shane, maybe this is just me because I am on Twitter all the time, but it's a lot easier for fans now. Let's put it this way. The other I went to the Bengals-Steelers Monday night football game, and, yeah, don't, like, make me go back through that in that memory. However, I found myself, while I was at the game, on my phone looking for Twitter updates from the Bengals beat journalists, okay?
Yeah.
You can just sit at, you know, wherever, you know, Longhorn Steakhouse, and on a Friday night go out to dinner and for date night, get on your phone and see what the score of the game is now. So it's a little bit different the way people look at it on social media. People post it on Facebook constantly. I see people all the time, hey, what's the score? Hey, who scored how many, you know? So I think the way we've kind of went to our smartphones also affects the crowd sections as well.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, we're guilty of it. You know what I mean? I'm obviously locked in, focused on the game I'm watching, but, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wasn't intrigued by what are the other three games doing tonight. you know, and I'm constantly trying to find that as well. So, I think those are all valid points, Bruce. And, it's something that maybe it's just a culture change, but, it is interesting to hear Derek's take about the SVC still being more, because I think a lot of that just has to do with, like you said, the rivalries, close by, and, you get a lot of families that extend into different schools, and one night you're rooting for this school, but the next night you have a niece or a nephew on this team, or, you know, whatever it might be. So, it's interesting, but I do think, going back to the question, though, the home court advantage is still a factor. I still think it's a lot easier to play at home than it is on the road.
Do you think it's becoming less of a factor?
Probably a little bit less of a factor, but again, there's something that's still about the emotional lift and just the comfort level of a lot of your first year people and so forth. So I would say yes, less, but to say that it's not a factor, I think I'd be going too far.
Maybe this contributes to the comfort that you talked about for your role players. And I wondered if it affected anybody else, but you know, there's certain gyms that I've seen teams have trouble going into. It just seems like, you know, me at Vinton County, when our teams travel to Logan High School, up in the gymnasium up there, it just seems like we have a tough time. Now, it's typically against a good Logan team, or it's typically at tournament time where they have the first round. But what about physical attributes like the bounce of the court, the rims being tight, or the background into which they're shooting? I mean, you know, kids get used to that at their home place, and then when they walk into an away venue, do those things, I mean, is that just excuses that are thrown out?
Yes and no. I mean, you made the one good point there, and then you almost made my first point for me.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, I've heard that with Vinton County before going to Logan. Well, when you go to Logan, you're playing a really good basketball team, or you're in the Division II tournament playing a phenomenal basketball team. So they have a lot to do with poor shooting.
Yeah.
But I think the other factor is interesting. I think a lot of shooters, and again, I still think it's younger shooters or kids that don't have as much experience, they'll say, well, the background here is a little bit different behind the glass, or there's more space in the gym, or, hey, people are a lot closer to you. You hear it all the time when you get down to the convo. The open space, it's hard to get used to, or whatever. I don't know. I guess that there's something to that. To me, if you can shoot, you can shoot. I don't know. I'd love to have Brandon Kennedy on the show and ask him. To me, I don't know that he's ever walked into a gym and thought, man, I don't know if I can shoot tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, something tells me the first time he comes open, he's going to put the same stroke that he's repeated thousands of times in the last 6-7 years of his life, and he's going to shoot it.
Maybe not.
Maybe it'd be interesting to see. To get some different viewpoints of players, but I think each atmosphere is different. I think fans can be different. I know when I was growing up playing in the pit, the old Zane Trace gym, playing in the pit was a lot different than playing in Huntington. There's no doubt about it. But to say that it impacted, you know, your shot or impacted the way you played or different things like that, I don't think so. Now, as a freshman in high school, was it a little different the first time I went into the pit compared to playing junior high basketball the year before?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I think that's why I say it takes young kids sometimes a little bit of experience to just go in and settle the nerves and to play and to shoot, not because of a background or because of an atmosphere, but just because of managing your nerves and becoming comfortable in your environment.
Okay.
Hey, Bruce, I just like point out that I can't shoot no matter what gym it is.
That's
so
true. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. That's why my career ended in eighth grade. So it was not pretty then even. Well, we'll go on then. But, you know, if any of you listening out there have thought about that, I guess two different ways. One, whether home court advantage is really what it used to be or ever was. And secondly, what is contributing to the lack of attendance at some of the compared to olden days when the student sections were big, and now the crowds, while they're decent for the most part, they're kind of down. So we'll give you a little bit later contact information how you can contribute to that, but we'd like to hear what you're going to say. We're going to head now to our fast break brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club again.
Yeah, the fast break, Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. You heard me mention earlier that as I subscribe through their website and get their emails and some of their things, you can do the same there. But I think beyond the numbers they're posting there, Bruce, which are really, really fair, I think I would encourage you to still call, introduce yourself, let them know you listen to SVC Sports Talk, interested in coming up X amount of times, and see what kind of packages they could put together for you. So again, that number, Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Our fast break has a little bit of depth to it this week, Derek. As you go first, I'll follow up. We're looking for one boys team and one girls team on each answer. Kind of spread the wealth, one boys team, one girls team. So Bruce, if you're okay with that, here we go on the fast break brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Which team do you feel is flying under the radar in terms of having a good season and not getting much attention for it?
You know, for me, this is a tough question because you look at the top of the well, I guess I feel like most of the better teams are, you know, we are at their games. I am seeing them a lot. So they're getting that type of coverage. So, you know, just in that sense, I would go with maybe Piketon's girls on the girls' side. They're 8-6. You know, just had a big win against Paint Valley. You know, they're starting to kind of put up shots. They're starting to kind of get to where Coach Brett Carino wants to get. And I'll tell you what, at the beginning of this season, not a lot of people thought Piketon was going to win even 8 games this year. They're already at that in 14. They don't have that big. They got a you know, a team full of talented guards. And you know, they're kind of starting to gel. They're kind of starting to get it. So I would go with them. I think they're having even a better season than they even projected for themselves. And then on the boys' side, look, we already know Uniota, Zane Trace, Pike, and Paint Valley were going to be good. So I'm going to go with Southeastern here, Shane, because if you look at where they are this year compared to where they were last year, that's a completely different team. Last year they were 5-18 or 5-17 to end the regular season. They've already won 4 games this year. They're 4-6. You got to remember they took Piketon to the wire. Obviously they're going to have their slips up. They're still young in a couple of positions, but with a Rex Hartman and Lane Ruby who went on that deep tournament run last year, and a couple other the kids that kind of complimented them last year as well. You know, I would say that if you compare last year to this year, Southeastern's having a pretty decent year.
Well, for me on the girls' side, I think it's Huntington. You know, I'm not necessarily shocked because I kind of know their situation pretty well from being around them in the years past. But to be 10-2, now if I'm being objective, I know the knocks out there around the league, our non-league schedule was not great. Obviously, the Lexi Woods injury the other night played a big part in this. But look, Braden Collins coming up on 800 career points, Derek, in just 40 career games or less than. That's really impressive. So when you look at the JV team over the last couple of years, building this up, you know, Braden has a great supporting cast there with Cheyenne Conley and with McDonald and Black. And I know a lot of other juniors there, as well as even some of the upcoming kids with Halbau and Davis that are doing well. And then on the boys' side, I kind of like Zane Trace. I think Tanner Perdue is a kid that gets a lot of headlines for Piketon. Uniota gets a lot of headlines. But you know, Zane Trace, I still don't know if people totally have a pulse on how elite this team could be. You know, at 8-2, they've only lost to Uniota by 1. They've lost to at Chillicothe. But with Evans and Beam and Davidson, Nestor and Odell, I mean, to me, this is a team that is probably looked at as a good team. But I still don't know if people... to me, they're flying under the radar a little bit in terms of a team that could really, really win this thing and make some noise in the postseason.
Even though it's said in sports that you are what your record says you are, which team is better than its record?
Well, you look at Pay Valley's boys. You know, to me, they're 5-5. They have dropped a couple games. Let's be honest, they probably shouldn't have dropped. They probably shouldn't have lost those games. But you still have Dylan Swinkle. You still have a Bryce Newland who's a big kid. He can crash the boards. He can shoot. You still have a still growing and developing Cruz McFadden. You look at a Caden Grubb who just gets it on the defensive end. He's kind of starting to contribute more on the offensive side. Then you look at Hunter Hamlin, who's really become a nice role player. You know, P.J. McAllister also plays and kind of goes in the rotation. But you look at that starting five, and you look what they did against Uniota what was it, last Friday, 66-63, almost upset them. Maybe should have upset them, and with a more experienced team, I think they would have. Then they go the next night, and they play a double overtime game with just dead legs and still pull a game out at Westfall. So 5-5 is not that team. I think you're going to see them get a lot better as we go on. And just remember, Shane, it's about where you're at as a team during the tournament run if you click at the right time. I think Paint Valley just may do that. I'm going to stay in Bainbridge on the girls' side and still go with Paint Valley. Look, they're 5-9. They've had a pretty tough non-conference schedule that includes a North Adams, teams like that. They've lost twice now to Southeastern, and now you got to think your leading scorer is out. I think that's going to be something to watch for the rest of the year without Alexi Woods. How good is Paint Valley? But how much do their players develop going into a tournament run? Right now they're 5-9. I think that's, you know, I really do think they're 6-8 with Alexi Woods on their team. I think they beat Piketon Thursday night. But going forward here, I think that's just going to be a theme for them. They're better than their record is. They just have a couple key injuries. Let's not forget Amy Hollis is also injured for them. She brought kind of some experience and just some leadership to that team as well. So I think both of those, you know, stay in Bainbridge at Paint Valley for my answer.
Well, I think on the boys' side, I'm going to go with the Edina boys. Obviously, I don't know how many wins they're going to get this year, but I'm just saying in terms of their talent level, in terms of their basketball development, far beyond their record, there's some special things going on in that program that I think you would be really excited about. I think Blevins and Fout and Fogelsong and some of those guys give you age. They give you some athleticism, some strength. But that freshman class, there's a lot to like. So I know they had a suspension early on and so forth, some different things. They're back at full strength here, and they picked up a couple wins. But, you know, again, beyond the record, that team's a pretty good basketball team. And then usually I try to come up with something different to spread the wealth. But, Derek, it's hard for me not to go with the Paint Valley girls for a lot of the same reasons you talked about. Benton County, Hillsboro, Alexander, North Adams. You know, you not only lose Amy Hollis, but now you lose Lexi Woods. So you're sitting here at 5-9, 4-4 in the league. I know you're probably entering the league week thinking, okay, we can get to 6-2 at home, get back to 7-7. You're up, what, 7 on Huntington when you lose her? And, you know, yeah, I mean, so it is. It slaps you in the face a little bit. Instead of 6-2, 7-7, here you are at 4-4, 5-9. And, you know, they're going to have to regroup and play on. But yeah, that's a team that, tough circumstances, certainly better than that record.
Name a player you think will step up to help his or her team improve entering the tournament.
You know, we'll start on the boys' side for me. And, you know, I got to look at Piketon's Alex Blanton. You know, we already know that Tanner Perdue is going to score. He's going to get his. But just in the three or four times that I've seen Piketon play, the Blanton kid, you know, first of all, he's fast. He can play defense. He scores in transition. You know, I think he's averaging around, I want to say, 7 points a game with a couple of steals per game. You know, he's just a really nice piece on the outside for the Red Streaks. And he's a hard-nosed player. He's one of those kids that you hate to play against, but you love to have him on your team. So I'm going to go with him there. On the girls' side, we mentioned her name earlier. But, Shane, I got to go with Rachel Collins. I mean, right now she is coming on. She's coming into her own. She's almost at 8 points a game. She's got 6 rebounds a game, which is big, especially if you can get the ball and give it to Ella Skeens. You know, she's just – when I talked to Mike Adams this past week, his exact quote was, if Rachel Collins plays well, we play well. And that's a big compliment for somebody, again, playing alongside of Skeens. So I think if she does play well during a tournament run, and she plays well just, you know, during the rest of the season here, you know, we're going to see Southeastern win a lot more games than they already have.
Well, for me, guys, on the boys' side, I love the way the Wheeler kid at Southeastern's coming on. I think he gives a lot of versatility. Seth Beeler at Huntington jumps out. I love Pink Valley's backcourt that Derek mentioned a second ago with McFadden and Grubb. I think the more they continue to evolve in their game, the better those teams are going to get. Then on the girls' side, let's look at some of the forward play of Uniota. Summer Sigmund, Cree Stolle. Because see, what happens there is Uniota plays a lot of four guard lineups, or, you know, a lot of four out, one in. And, you know, like the other night in that Southeastern game, I thought the big matchup was, could Uniota's stretch play of their hybrids, so to speak, like Cree Stolle and Summer Sigmund, stretch the floor compared to the physicality at the four position of Skylar Heiss? And quite frankly, Skylar Heiss outplayed him. just in terms of, you know, offensive rebounding and hustle and physicality. So I think that's really, really important. But obviously Stallie's a special talent. Both of those young ladies can shoot the three. So I think that's something to really look at, especially as they get into the D2 level and are going to have to play against some two-post lineups.
One fan from last week's show loved the upset talk and wants to know a team that you think is capable of upsetting someone in the second half of the year.
Well, are we talking about in league play here? Because if we're talking about in league play, Shane, for me on the girls' side, honestly, nobody. I don't see anybody beating Southeastern or Uniota until that matchup again, that second matchup with a outright or a shared league title on the line. I just don't. In the tournament, though, I kind of have your same answer for the second question we answered. It's got to be Huntington girls for me. Anytime you have a score like Braden Collins, anytime she can, kind of get out it, or get into the passing lanes and then go create easy buckets on the other end. You got a Kelsey McDonald who's maybe not playing up to par right now, but I think she'll get there. A Riley Black on the team who can shoot from the outside. She leads the team in rebounds. Then, as you mentioned earlier, Emily Hobile, Cheyenne Conley, Miranda McCloskey is giving good minutes. I think Huntington could really maybe get a lower seed and take a three or a two seed in the sectional or district level. On the boys' side, in the league, I think we just saw it. I talked about them already, but Paint Valley's boys. Anytime you have a Dylan Swingle on the court, it changes the way the opponent plays the game. They almost had the best team in our league upset, and so I think they're going to take their shots at guys. I think if they beat a Piketon, a Zane Tracer, or a Uniota, that's probably considered an upset to me, and I think to a lot of other people. And I think they can do that, but they have to play their game. In the tourney, I think you mentioned it earlier, you hit the nail on the head when you said the Dean's boys. I like the young team. They're getting out and running. Got to remember Kyle Bradley's from an Upper Sandusky, and up there they get out and they run. If this team is doing that at the beginning of the season, they're going to kind of get that philosophy, and it's going to be pounded in their heads by tournament time. And let's face it, a lot of teams in Southern Ohio, they just can't keep up with that pace. These kids have been doing it all year. I know they're freshmen. I know they're young. But if they can put it all together, rely on the Fout, the Blevins for, a double-double like they've been doing a lot this year, I really think they can get somebody.
Yeah, you and I are real close to being on the same page again here, because with the girls, my exact notes here in front of me say I just don't see it. I think it's the girls' side is kind of cut and dry. I guess with the Woods injury, Paint Valley becomes still a team that you're going to have to watch play a little bit without her and see what they look like and kind of see moving forward. But I think the girls are going to have a hard time playing over their head in terms of, who's supposed to win in league play. Now, come tournament time, it's all matchups. We'll have to wait and see the bracket. On the boys' side, I agree with your Paint Valley selection. Let me throw another one out just to highlight another team. Let's go back to Southeastern for a lot of the same reasons you said earlier. Coach Charlesball now starting about 6'4", 6'6", in the post. Obviously with Ruby at the point and Hartman can really shoot it. The team can really shoot the three ball and don't overlook what they did last year and the confidence that brings them in the tournament setting and so forth. So as they continue to work down the stretch here and come together as a team, they become very dangerous depending on who they draw down at Waverly.
And that is our Fast Break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. And, of course, tell them the boys at SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, I've got the floor. I might as well go ahead and mention, if you would like to contribute to the show or give us some information or some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so by emailing Shane at admin1@svcsportszone.com. He also maintains two profiles on Facebook. You can just kind of look him up there. And he's also available on Twitter. His handle there, @svcsportszone.com. And then the good doctor, Mr. D.R. Webb at the Chillicothe Gazette, you can send him an email at that address. And, of course, you can always find him hanging out on Twitter with his verified account, @DW1509. So you can let these guys know what you think, whether they're all wet or whether they've got a point. And we'd like to have, a little bit more comment about the home court advantage and the crowds and so forth. That's good stuff. And, Derek, another thing before I go on, I wanted to congratulate you on the piece that you wrote on Tristan Miller. I just thought that that was very well written. You handled a difficult topic well, and you just did a great job. And I hope somebody somewhere sees that and gives you all the accolades you deserve for that.
Well said. Outstanding. Yeah.
I appreciate that, guys. I will say, you know, if I never get an accolade or award or minutes read or whatever, if we save one life with that article, that's then our mission's accomplished. Yeah. You know, that story wasn't about me. It wasn't about, you know, I knew it was going to be a big story, but I didn't care. I just wanted it to reach somebody out there that's going through the same stuff that Tristan was. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've already had a couple parents, a couple kids, you know, message me on Twitter, message me on Facebook and say, thank you. You know, I was really maybe going through a tough time. Your article helped. That's great. All that we're out there for. And that was the gist. And that's what Tristan's family wants. And, I tell you what, it's amazing, Shane, and then how social media can get a message out there. You know, I kind of saw that firsthand this week. You know, that story was in Illinois, New Jersey, Florida, Georgia. Just because of people that's been in the area or have left or colleagues, you know, that have you know, got other jobs. It's crazy to see the power that social media has. And, you know, like I said, hopefully that helps somebody out there. And, you know, hopefully it continues to do the same.
Well, you did a very, very good job. I just thought that was very well handled, the whole thing. And I'm sure you appreciate the families, you know. I don't know whether they ask you to write that or their cooperation, I guess, is what I would say.
Sure.
I'm sure that was hard for them as well, it sounded like. Well, we move now to our post-game comments, again brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. And again, like I said before, like them on Facebook so you'll receive their posts there as well. Located at 106 West Main Street, they are your source for SVC school apparel, all kinds of fitness gear, sports equipment, headwear, and all those sports accessories that you need as we tiptoe little, ever so slightly towards spring and the change into other different kinds of sports. Track and field comes back, softball, baseball. I'm sure that these guys are looking forward to that, but not that we're closing the books yet on basketball, of course. But hey, as we move into the post game comments, I wanted to kind of ask both of you. I noticed that you know, we're starting to see the posting of stats. And I just wondered if there's anything that really comes kind of standing out to you, kind of grabs you. Shane?
Yeah, for me, guys, it's the one thing I love about the stats page, and we've talked about this before, stats scare people to death sometimes, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, but I think for me, when we post our SVC leaders page, I love the opportunity to highlight the complete player,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of times we get people say, well, all you do is put points on there. Well, what happens is when we do the SVC leaders is we start with points, but if you really look down through the stat sheet, it highlights the complete player, and I love to take a look at that. We've even gone all the way down to a stat this year of charges taken, where Blake Reeder at Pike has 15, Gavin Snyder Huntington 7. I mean, me being a guy who loves some good man-to-man defense and some good awareness of ready to help position and so forth, and doing things that the little things to win, that's awesome. The way we're able to highlight that, but you know, beyond that, even the kids that score big, I don't think we appreciate sometimes how complete a player they are. I mean, you take a kid like Dylan Swingle, 3 assists, 4 blocks, obviously the way he rebounds the ball, or Braden Collins averaging over 20 a game, but she also does it on the other end at over 5 steals per game. Purdue's ability to rebound and cause turnovers and assist. Swackhammer and Kennedy, the way they run the show and defend and shoot it. So when you look down through there, appreciate the ball handlers, appreciate the rebounders, appreciate the people who defend with steals and blocks and charges taken. Yeah, I just feel like we have a stat that kind of highlights the entire game. And I think the more we do that, we're never going to reach every single kid, but I love the way we're able to highlight a lot of different roles from a lot of different schools on there.
Derek, anything that grabs you by the throat?
Hey, you know, Shane mentioned Braden Collins. Mm-hmm. She had 56 steals, 56, which is just ridiculous, coming in 10 games coming into this past week. Thursday, she scores 32 and adds 10 more steals. to that total. So it's very rare where you see a double-double with steals and points. Mm-hmm. And that was the first of this kind that season, kind of like a stat line anomaly, if you would. Then, Shane, the other thing kind of stands out to me, the only two kids who are in top 10 in points, rebounds, assists, and steals per game are Ellis Gaines with over 27 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, almost three assists and almost three steals a game, and then Lexi Woods with 24.7 points, a league-leading 12.2 rebounds, 3.9 assists, and 2.3 steals per game as well. So I think that highlights, one, how great both of those players are and how much of a loss that Lexi is for Paint Valley's moving forward.
Well, and really, Bruce, it's the ability. You heard me mention it about Ella in the Uniota game. Yeah, she scored, 25 or whatever, but she dominated that game just by being out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just by having the ball in her hand, by running off of screens hard, running away from the ball hard, sprinting the floor hard. You know, she impacted that game in just so many different ways. And I think that's exactly what, you know, Derek's talking about is, you know, the first thing you think of Paint Valley is the points. But you're also giving up 12 rebounds a game. That's a pretty big deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the nerds that know that kind of thing. That's good stuff, though. I mean, and it's interesting to see different players scattered all amongst those different statistics you've got out there, Shane. Where they show up, I guess. Well, as we talked about at the top of the show, rescheduling is playing a big part in our lives right now. We don't know exactly how it's going to shake out, but it does give you guys a chance to perhaps see more games. And my question would be, do you like that? And I think I know what the answer is going to be here, Shane.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's the opportunity. I mean, film's one thing, and I'm kind of blessed to have access to a lot of different film and so forth, and I appreciate that from the different coaches who trust me with that and so forth. But so I still get to see a lot, but there's no substitute for getting to go in person into the atmosphere and watch it. So, you know, I really appreciate that. So going into the second half here, as these games get rescheduled, hopefully they'll fall on some nights where I'm able to see more live. And I also want to give a shout out to my brother, Matt, and Carl Knox down on the Viking Ground Ball Hour for having me on last week. Had a chance to talk a little league basketball, which I know people on SVC Sports Talks probably thinking, oh, good, I'm glad I missed that, because they probably know my soapbox already. But at the same time, I also got an opportunity to talk a little Zane Trace basketball there. So I certainly wanted to get that in on the air here. That I appreciate that. That's still on the front page of the website if you want to go and listen to that. I'm in the second segment and then the final segment. Again, little league basketball and then talking a little Zane Trace basketball. So appreciate that and look forward to seeing a lot of the games here on the reschedules this week.
I was going to tell you, I couldn't believe that you lowered yourself down to their level to go out to their posh studios.
And oh, they big time it on the Viking Ramble app.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Studio. Derek Webb wouldn't know what to do. If Derek Webb went down there one time, we'd never get him back.
Well, I was kind of thrown under the bus on that particular podcast several times.
I tried to have your back, Bruce.
I appreciate what little you were able to get in there. They probably edited out anything you said that was good, I'm sure. Derek, do you know what your schedule is going to be and how you're going to be able to take advantage of this rescheduling?
Yeah, I mean, actually, before we rescheduled, I didn't have anything tomorrow night. Now we've got two games scheduled, and I mean Monday, since we're recording on Sunday. It's just things like that where, you know, we had maybe an open date, mm-hmm. Or I had a day where I was just like, man, I don't really know what to cover. There's games out of town. Now it's like, okay, that date's covered. You know, we can have a video or highlights or whatever that night. So. Yeah, I mean, I love it. It makes my job easier. I can get to see more athletes, which helps me write, columns, features, whatever. I hate not having or not being able to cover it that night, the same night that it gets canceled. But it does make it better down the road, a lot more fun down the road as well.
All right. Shane, that is episode 207.
Well, it is. And I tell you, a lot of fun. I look forward to the week ahead here. And I, the one thing I'll throw out on that Wednesday night, Uniota Vinton County girls, if you're looking for good basketball there, that'll be a lot of fun. You know, a lot of times you get matchups of contrasting styles, and it can make for, you know, an uglier brand of basketball. I think what you're going to get with this is two teams that they don't mind running up and down. They don't mind turning it loose from the three-point line. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. So that'd be something to maybe mark your schedule on there as well. So make sure you check out the Chillicothe Gazette or the SVCSportZone.com there to see the different rescheduling dates and so forth. And we look forward to getting at it again next week as we talk more basketball. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.